Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for The Light Doctor with Dr. Susan Jameson. Dr. Jameson is an MD, an energy medicine doctor, and a medical intuitive who combines the very best of Western and Eastern therapies. Known as The Light Doctor, she trained in Scotland and Harvard and now practices in Hong Kong. Let's welcome The Light Doctor, Dr. Susan Jameson, back to News for the Soul.
Let's do that indeed. We're a little
it's
late.
It's time for The Light Doctor with Dr. Susan Jameson.
Something has gone absolutely crazy with the system today, but at least we can hear it better now.
How good is that?
So here's where we start. We're bringing The Light Doctor, Dr. Susan Jameson, as you've heard a few times now, on for an introductory show. This is her first show. This is the new time slot, the new show we're introducing today. And we're going to do it from the beginning, the place that we do with all the new News for the Soul family members. So welcome, Dr. Susan Jameson, to News for the Soul.
Thank you so much. It's delightful to be talking to you here. And I just think this is one of the glitches we get, you know, one of the stresses of modern life, right? We just have to go with it.
Well, we're in the middle of a full blue moon, All Hallows Eve almost, in the middle of Mercury retrograde and a pivotal time in human history. So we're doing okay. It only took us 10 minutes.
I'm a Celt, and this is Samhain for us, right? And it is a time of, like, let's say, thinning of the veils. Samhain is a big Celtic festival, you know, pre-Halloween. So it's not just this. It's a lot going on. There was a solar flare, a C-class solar flare about 4 days ago. There's just a lot. Electrostatic light stuff happening.
Yes, and more. So we're here. Yay! Here's what we do is we like to introduce the new members of the News for the Soul family with the same introductory question, because it's the place that grounds us together as a community and grassroots movement, seeking to know what's really real and what's really possible. It's the thing that binds us together and moves us forward. So I want to ask you our famous first question, and then we'll unpeel the onion from there and get to know you this hour, which I've been looking forward to doing. So the first question always is, most of us have had experiences outside the quote-unquote 3D norm that have gotten our attention, set us on a new path, woken us up, changed our lives perhaps. And I'm curious if you would like to share your earliest recollection of anything like that, as well as your most profound, so wherever you would like to start.
As well as my most profound, did you say?
Absolutely.
Anyway, I was a baby lying on my pram, and I was put under the trees to get some fresh air, because that's what your mom does, right? And I'm sure that is the right thing to do. And I remember I couldn't speak at that point, must have been under the age of one, and looking up at the trees, and there's light coming through the trees, filtering through, you know how beautiful that is. And I just completely merged with that light, and I was mesmerized by it. I have a very distinct memory of that. And ever since, it's just like it just transports me. Light coming through the trees transports me to a feeling of oneness with the universe, a feeling that the light is, what Ralph Waldo Emerson said, there is a light within, you know, this light within that is also outside of us too. So we are something greater than ourselves, but yet the same.
It's interesting to have a pre-verbal memory that vivid of just light, you know?
Beauty, trees and light. And recently I've gone back to my Celtic heritage, and I've actually recently become a forest therapy practitioner to learn how to heal people in nature. It's a very Celtic concept as well.
Forest therapy?
It's called, yes, you know, forest bathing is a fantastic thing, very popular. Well, this is a little step further. It's called forest therapy. So it's a concept that the forest and the trees and the nature do the healing. It's not me like doing a meditation in nature. It's a concept a bit bigger than that.
I've never heard of forest bathing either.
Oh, hugely popular nowadays, and it's fabulous because people need a stress antidote. You know, life's so stressful. And what I do is I teach people, even if you don't have a forest, you may live in a tiny apartment, say in lockdown, but maybe you have a pot plant, and by connecting to that plant, you somehow connect to the energies of nature, right? I mean, it sounds a bit silly because I don't think you want to worship a pot plant, actually, but you know what I mean. I think one can connect. I'm not recommending that one. Mm-mm, and your religion.
Interesting.
So,
wow.
Yeah. Clever old Japanese invented it in that they had lots of stressed people, office workers, and lots of forests. So they kind of put them together. And I don't think they're the ones to know that. We all know it's relaxing being in nature, right? And there's something ephemeral and special that we can't quantify that somehow changes you.
Yeah, well, grounding and essential, absolutely. All right, so getting back to the original question, that was your earliest recollection of something profound and deeply connective. What other memories do you have of, you know, outside the 3D norm?
Well, I think I've been in an altered state all my life, actually, probably a little bit odd, but only now realizing it. I just remember being able to manifest things. Okay, so I'd be like 12 walking down the road. It's a mile to get to the bottom of our road. We lived in the country in the highlands of Scotland and probably a little bit snowy. And I thought, do you know what? I fancy getting a lift here. I fancy being picked up. And it's just a road with no cars. But the moment I had the thought, a car would pass me by. And I just, you know, you're in the country, you just wave at someone and you say, can I have a lift, please? So I remember being able to do this, but it was always in the subconscious. And just manifesting things that, I think the trick is that you don't focus on overly much. Like, my passing was beautiful, and I live in Hong Kong, right? And Hong Kong, the Chinese name is Zhuo Go. It means Middle Kingdom. The ancient Chinese idea that we're between heaven and earth. We're somehow the mediators. So it's interesting that in Hong Kong, this Eastern attitude came in, and I remember looking at this beautiful house. Most people live in skyscrapers here. Just thinking, wow, that's a lovely house. Imagine having a lovely house with a big garden like that. And then 2 weeks later, I'm living in it. And it's just like, things just happen like that I think are outside normal reality.
So you've been kind of tuned in, tapped in, and connected to nature from early on then.
It's always my respite, you know. I nature finds me and nature loves me, and I know it does, and I love it back. And it's like anything, these things are reciprocal. It's a living organism, right? We come from the earth. We're sustained by the food of the earth, the water of the earth, and the air. And when we die, we go back to the earth. It's a cycle of the earth being our mother, a very ancient concept also, right?
So what was your upbringing like? Would you say you had a sort of conscious, more aware parenting?
Absolutely the opposite. Yeah. I think you'd agree that a lot of us are like that, right? But, you know, parents are what they are, and they do their best in life, I think, in general. I mean, mine certainly did. But, no, I was an only child who was left to get on with it, frankly. Everything I did in my own life was me. I was left to get on with it. And I just did. But it was me and nature and me and my pony and my horse. And you know how little girls are very bonded to ponies, right? We love that. Ponies and unicorns are the thing. I'm still there, by the way. I saw some unicorns in the local, you know, hairdresser shop for children to sit on. I only just discovered it yesterday, and I'm going in there to sit on one. I so want to do that. That'll be my next Instagram picture. So
yeah.
I think having so much time on your own, you bond, you understand nature, you get it. And if I'm really stressed out with something like this, trees, as you say, are very grounding because, well, they have the deep roots and they're all connected to each other, as we know, the fungus and the roots under the land. actually scalp tree people. It's on my website. To me, they're real. I think, you know, there's these stories. I'm not sounding very medical here. Sorry about this, because I have a very medical side that I can talk about too. But there are these stories that in the olden days, they were walking trees or something like this, you know. And I don't know, I've embodied this, so I scalp tree people.
Wow. So. Well, we have so many things to get to know about you. And we'll try to do it sort of in a semi-linear form. But, you know, you're preaching to the choir with the awareness stories anyways. And, you know, I think that was one of my dreams was to be able to introduce a medical doctor with this much light coming through as well. So we're all happy about that.
Can I talk about something I was just reading about to do with trees?
Yeah.
You know that light is our sustenance, right? Because in a way we, the food that nourishes us, it comes from photosynthesis, doesn't it? And we know that from biology lessons. So if plants absorb photons of light from the sun, they do it so efficiently. Can you believe this? They absorb over 98% of that energy. Now, the best we can do with the most modern solar panels that you couldn't even buy right now is 40%. So, because what happens with us is the electromagnetic energy would dissipate as heat. So the plants are, I mean, how do they do this? It's amazing. They do it through quantum coherence and superpositioning, things that you hear about in science fiction. They are so, like, so quantum physical, right? They're just incredible. So there's all these quantum properties going on in the plant leaf, this green leaf that ends up being the base of our food, whether we're vegetarians or we eat animals that eat grass. And they're just like the light years ahead of us, and light years is a good description for it because it's quantum physics involving photons of light.
Yeah.
So I have a very scientific
tattoo. It sounds quite remarkable.
I think scientifically, wouldn't we love to harness 98% of the sun's light? I mean, yeah, but we can't because we don't have that capability that they do.
Not yet. So as you were growing up, you're very tuned in, tapped in, connected to the light. How did you come to get interested in healing?
I think I've been a doctor for a lifetime, so it all struck me that that's what I would do. Therefore, I went to medical school, traditional path, and then I became a generalist because, you see, I'm a specialist now in integrative health. And it just was a generic path for me. It's a short answer to that one. And it was quite easy for me, really. I'm an integrative health specialist, so I integrate three levels, Eastern, Western philosophy concepts. I integrate, drugs and herbs and homeopathy. It's all good. It's all good. There is no bad in this world. It's all good if used properly. Then I do mind, body, dare I say spirit. Well, I wouldn't say that in medical circles so often, but mind, body, spirit is totally integrated in here too.
Yeah.
So that's what I do in my day-to-day job. And then, you know, the teaching and the writing get a little bit more interesting, perhaps.
I'm trying to figure out you felt like you were always supposed to do the doctor stuff. How did you become aware of the other modalities like the Eastern?
Well, this is quite interesting, to be honest, and it goes back a long way, 20 years ago. You won't believe this. I was the radio doctor on the radio in Hong Kong 20 years ago, and I was driving my car into the radio show because that's what we did in those days, and I almost died laughing. I heard the psychic on the radio, and she was so funny. She was really witty. So we became best friends, right? And she was in Tiburon, California. Her name was Victoria Bullis. Fantastic psychic. And I had really bad asthma that, looking at it, is probably stress-related at the time, but it got worse, and you blame things outside of yourself, like pollution or some nonsense. And it was just getting worse. And she said, you know, it's your heart chakra, Susan. You know, we need to heal these wounds. And I'd never heard of this talk before about chakras. It was alien to me. But I liked her, so then you trust someone, don't you? So she did work on this and helped me with it. Didn't take long, and my asthma disappeared.
As a doctor, that must have been shocking.
But I am no hypocrite. So if things work, they work. That's it. Yes. I don't need further proof. I don't need someone to tell me, someone to prove it to me, right? It's like saying, is the sky blue or pink? I think it's pretty obvious. So, and that got me down the path. And that was 20 years ago. I used to check in with my own chakras every day. I still kind of do that and work with them and love them. And the, you know, energy centers in the body make sense to me and make sense in the Chinese sense, where they have different energy centers, right? They have lines of energy. They have chi in the body. And so working with an acupuncturist in my office also for 20 years, of course, I know where every meridian, the meridians are the lines along which the subtle energy circulates. I know where everyone in the body is. So, again, my Hong Kong education was part of this.
Mm-hmm. So after she did that healing on you, your asthma way, I mean, as a doctor, you're probably, like, flabbergasted that, wow, there's other things that are working. How do you resolve between the two places, the energy place, the, you know, the conscious work, and how you've been educated around Western medicine?
Well, I can personally hold these two, I'm going to say polarities, they shouldn't be, but it's kind of like seem to be dualities. I can do it, but I also have to remind myself, if I'm writing or if I'm talking, I think there's things that's been medically proven. We, you know, like I'm talking about quantum physics a few minutes ago, science. And then the things that haven't quite been proven yet, but we might believe in, like chakras, okay? So I do differentiate. Right. And I think that's fine. Because, you know, ancient philosophies for 3,000 years are not to be sniffed at, that's for sure. Just because we haven't managed to prove it means nothing. You know, they're getting more and more evidence about Chinese meridians and those acupuncture points, why they'd be working. 20 years ago, people would say to me, oh, does it really work, you know, acupuncture? It's just another, it's another energy medicine, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But so it's not, sometimes not easy. But, you know, my clients find me because they know I'm holistic. My personal work online I do with people is, you know, I'm a medical intuitive. Now, this is another level of feelingness of what's going on with someone's, in my case, someone's health, you know, not interested in their getting the right stocks and shares on their financial systems. It's their well-being that interests me, and a huge experience of doing that. So I'm like, okay, what is this? And I teach people how to do it, because that's really an important skill, I think, just being, let's say, more intuitive.
So how did you get into medical intuitive work?
Well, only because I realized that I was doing it subconsciously, and then it worked out that, and one, you know, as I was saying, you assume that everyone else is like you. I assumed that everyone did this, but then I realized they didn't. And I was, okay, example being, this is a bit of a basic example, but it's kind of a good one. I'm just sitting with a really fit 35-year-old slim woman, and the actual words pop into my mind, blood pressure. I'm like, where does that come from, right? But it pops in, check her blood pressure, guess what? She's got quite bad hypertension. She could have a stroke. And you don't expect it in that kind of lady, so you don't check the blood pressure normally, right, because she's fit and slim. So it's like things just pop into my mind, ideas pop in. Intuitively, things will come. And I think I get this information from the patient's higher self, the patient or the patient's actual consciousness, right?
Right.
So, you know, I believe that's where I get it, and I have a sort of model in quantum physics for this, because I think that explains things. And I've set up programs to teach people, call it the art and science of intuition. But that could be useful maybe in your relationship, in your job, in making decisions, not just your health, right?
So is this something that you train in doing, or you sort of self-taught?
Oh, it's not that I've self-taught, because I've been doing it for so many years. You know what? They say you need 100,000 hours and something to be an expert in it. I've had that. We're talking, well, not 30, 20 years, I would say, of doing this every single day of my life. It's for me, it's just, I'm really good at it. But I've also honed my skills by practice, let's say. So now I'm in a position to teach others. And this isn't about, it's more, as I say, about collecting information from this. Supposing we live in a holographic world, and you can, you know, we have light wave. This has been proven, okay? Light waves emanating from our heart. It's like electromagnetic waves. So it's like you drop a pebble in a pond, you get ripples, don't you? So imagine two pebbles being dropped in a pond, lots of ripples overlap in the middle. That's what happens when you sit with someone. And when light waves touch each other, you get access to the whole quantum field. That's how light works. Mm. And light, that's how wave physics, right? So then you get access to lots of, less quanta is information. That's what silicon chips are built on there. So huge amount of information available to, and that's when we meet someone, and we think, oh, I really like that person. Or you're like, oh, I don't really trust that person. You get immediate intuition, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And we're very quick to do that. We know who we get on with, who we don't. Immediately, it's quick. Same way, you're with someone, you think, I don't think that person's very well. I was with a therapist. I just met the therapist the other night, finishing work at 8 o'clock, exhausted. I said, you should take care of yourself. Your body will take the toll, you know, because I just knew she was going to get sick as she kept going. You know, we work too hard to help other people. So,
how do we teach people? Because we're usually very tuned in naturally, intuitively. How do you teach people that?
Well, I'm just working at this, to be honest. I just started teaching it. I was in Silicon Valley last year. I used to travel a lot. I do workshops. First of all, it's good to know about the science and how it works. Just like that simple description I gave you, two pebbles dropping in a pond. And then people think, okay, you know, I get that. And then I put people in pairs and get them to practice things, various exercises. And they discover the brilliant, amazingly, they discover the brilliant at it. And that really gives them confidence, you know. Because at first you think, oh, I can't do this. And before you know it, it's actually, I always want them to not share information until I finish the exercise, but they're so excited they can't stop talking and the whole room is just really noisy, you know, because they love to share and are having fun with it. So exercises, like everything else, practice, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the best I could say. Yeah, practice. So practice of doing small exercises too. Yeah, go on, I'm sorry.
You've been practicing as a medical doctor for how long in Hong Kong?
Ooh, that might make me seem rather old. No, I tell my boyfriend 20 years, but I'm going to tell you, because they're not listening, 30. Yeah.
No.
Because I know they're not listening.
The reason I ask is because, you know, we talk Eastern and Western medicine, and you're integrating all in a very unique, balanced way. Is it more normal over there to be more balanced with Eastern and Western medicine, or are you the unusual one in that region as well?
Oh, there are absolutely no MDs like me. No way whatsoever. But the general population have more of a concept. Like, they have a bit of a runny nose. They'll go to the herbal doctor and get a concoction on the street. There's these street vendors that sell them. So there's a general acceptance, you know, of those things. Like, I don't know, what we'd do, we'd go to the pharmacy, wouldn't we, and get some cough sweets, I suppose. But they get the herbs, and there's general acceptance, like, of the yin and the yang balance, and you've got a damp, cold condition, maybe. That's the way they think about it, or you're very heaty. And that foods you eat would contribute to that, but also with the weather would contribute to that, you know. And then there's that general Eastern, more holistic idea about your body and how things work. Whereas in the West, you get virus, as we know. Don't talk about viruses.
Right.
And that's it, isn't it? That's it, right? Or you get bacterium and you get an antibiotic. And that is, and honestly, that's a bit of an unsophisticated worldview of healing.
It is indeed. So how at what point did you kind of come out of the light doctor closet and claim both balances of your approach?
Okay, well, to be quite honest, I'm still in the closet really here in my practice because I'm closeted in Hong Kong and I have more of an international persona about the light doctor. And the reason is, you know, my patients, I'm very well known here for a long time, and I am to them, I'm very much a healer, but a doctor that they go to, okay? And I'm an MD, really. But the ones that are attracted to me want a different approach. So I don't do any of my online work is more intuitive counseling, I would say. So I wrote a book about light 10 years ago. And it was really groundbreaking because 10 years ago, no one was talking about it. But I did a book tour. I was published by Findhorn Press, which are the sort of British version of Hay House, much smaller. And, you know, that was great. And the Literary Festival here really embraced that. That was great. So I think what I'm saying is you just do your work, whatever your work is, like you're doing, but you're incredibly intuitive about it. And I'm accessing patients' core information. So I do tests. I do CAT scans and I do x-rays and tests. But the difference is I will do the right ones in the beginning. We'll get to a diagnosis very quickly. And, you know, patients like that. And then I have, you know, I can offer natural solutions for things also, which they like. Or maybe not. I'm not judging anything, really. Like, you know, if they need drugs, that's fine. But internationally, I do more like talking in the International Light Association, talking about well-being properties of light. Oh, there's so much to talk about. It's so interesting. So interesting.
Yeah. On that note, what kinds of things might we look forward to on your future shows?
Well, right. I can talk about my patient examples of just how I work with, I believe that the root core of a lot of illnesses is emotional, okay? So I talk about how that works with my patients. Would you like an example?
Oh, yeah.
Right. 35-year-old lawyer called Fiona comes to my office, slim, fit, together lady, and she's been really healthy, but recently she just had all these gynae issues, right? She's got recurrent yeast infections. She's got an ovarian cyst suddenly. I'm seeing her every month, and I never used to see her at all except for her checkup. She was so healthy. So there has to be inquiry about why her well-being has changed, because nothing comes from nothing is my favorite expression, right? It's just so true. It always comes from somewhere. Well, it turns out she'd got, and I do remember this actually, she got divorced 3 years ago because her husband was cheating on her, and that's a very traumatic thing to happen. But now she has a couple of lovely new partners recently, but something triggers her psychologically. She didn't know this until I went into these details. And basically the fear that comes back, the fear of betrayal comes back pretty quickly. That's what happens with her. And the moment that huge thing gets triggered, because it was a big trauma that was pretty much, you know, we think we get over things, but we don't really. Big trauma got triggered maybe by someone just saying a few words that was the same as her ex-husband, something like this. And she'd go downhill with an illness that was interestingly always in her pelvic area. And, you know, we think, well, the second chakra is your emotions and your sexuality, isn't it? And the pelvis, so you could think of the second chakra, it's below your belly button, basically. It's the center. It's associated with the uterus, the ovaries. And it is the center of your creativity, because what's more creative than producing an egg and a new baby? Nothing. So it's the center of your creativity down there and your sexuality. So you see the connection. She wasn't getting recurrent mouth ulcers, recurrent tonsillitis or bronchitis. No. She was getting something related to that, you know, sexual betrayal part that had happened in her past.
Wow.
So this is common for me, and I call it unraveling, because, of course, most doctors would not look at it like this, would they? They just treat things, of course. And yes, those things also need to be treated, of course they do, through traditional means, which would be normal. Ovarian cysts need to be followed up, and if they get big, they get removed. But it's more to me like, why do people get sick? And unraveling the threads, which, of course, you know, I'm the light doctor, I see them as threads of light, like a shimmering spider's web. I wish you could get a better analogy here, because spider's web's not that nice. But anyway, shimmering web that really goes back in time as well as forward and connects us all. And it's these like strands of light. So even though, as we know, the past affects the present, because psychologically we're triggered by something that reminds us of some traumatic event. If your husband was an alcoholic and you had a horrible marriage, you get divorced, your new partner then has too much to drink, you will get triggered by that because it stresses you.
Mm.
It's just normal. So we have to unravel this, and I'm very good at following those threads. As I say, the shimmering, and you just follow the threads in your consciousness, and it's not happening anywhere else, is it? It's happening in your consciousness. But do you remember what I said about the light fields? They're all connected in this web of light. And you know what? This is really interesting. Physically, light never stops in time and space. It just keeps going. Remember that. That's a physical property of light. So my little heart's emanating it. Every DNA in my body's emanating with light. Well, I guess it's going at the speed of light out there to some star. I mean, from the moment I was born, right? It's probably out there now. And all the light waves are interfering with each other.
So how did you get resolved for your...
patient, Fiona.
That's the word.
It's Fiona. It was Fiona. Okay, she's not listening either. I happen to know that. So actually, it wasn't her real name. We do the normal things, as you say. If you have an affection, you treat it because that's what you do. Or the ovarian cyst follow-up. But once I, you know what? Another favorite expression of mine, you get a lot of these at the moment, is when if you shine the light on something, it's in the light. So true. The moment you say things, it's an aha moment. I think that's the modern expression for it. And you're like, suddenly, you're like, wow, you know, yeah, that's true. And it's almost like by shining the light on something, you dissolve it. Well, you shine the light, therefore, you know, darkness cannot exist in the light, can it? You see what I mean? So by shining the light of consciousness on something, the light of understanding, the light of enlightenment, one candle in a dark room will illuminate that room. A little bit of darkness can't darken a bright room. It's not possible, right? See what I mean? Does that make sense to you? Was that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like, to me, it's like when you think about it, it's really, okay, so I think we've all had moments when you suddenly have this understanding, you think, wow. And almost, I'm going to say, that understanding is enough to shine the light on things, but some people, she was one of them, actually sent for a little bit of counseling, you know, to a psychologist just to talk about this, and it didn't take much because she got it, right? You get another person who's totally resistant to this whole concept, and that's tricky because they don't want to know, and then they'll just keep getting the illnesses. And what, you know, I can't do anything about that, but actually I get really upset and frustrated on their behalf. So that's, you know, that's life, I suppose, and it's my job not to get upset and frustrated for other people.
So
I'm very caring. Very caring.
Yeah, you mentioned something important about every physical illness having an emotional root or related root cause. Can you speak more to that?
Well, I would say most of them do. You know what? I'm not going to say 100%. So we get a sore throat. Just as an example, I've got more stories about sore throats along similar lines. Because that's a really common thing for us doctors, you know, people have always got sore throats, but why do I get a sore throat? So I had a teacher who was older, right, 50-year-old, a bit worn out, come in to see me, because, you know, it's a hard job teaching, isn't it? And they do get worn out, they're exhausted by the holiday time. And she says, she said, you know, I keep getting these sore throats, it's terrible. And again, I never used to see her with sore throats. This was new. And then people make up stories. We all do this. It's like, oh, the pollution is responsible for my asthma, right? It's a story. And all rubbish. And so and I said, oh, this is terrible. I said, why are you getting all these sore throats suddenly? She said, oh, because I talk all the time. I'm a teacher. I'm like, hello. I think you've done that all your life. I mean, that's just a silly story, isn't it? But that's what sort of thing people say. I said, well, I talk all the time. I don't get sore throats. And I said that in a nicer way, really. And, and she said, oh, yeah. So I left it. I didn't want to push her. And obviously, I treat the tonsillitis, obviously, because she's got a sore throat. It's quite disabling. And it's painful. But I do say to her, you know what? This is the area of communication. So you don't need to mention the chakra word because it doesn't matter. It's sort of communication. I think we all understand that. So could it be that there's someone in your life maybe not listening to you? I don't know, your husband or your boss or someone in your life, and you feel you're not being heard and you're struggling to communicate. And that's all I need to say. And she said, oh, my gosh. No, my husband's fine. It's my boss. I've got this new boss. He is really difficult. I don't feel he's listening to a word I say. He keeps rescheduling my classes. My life's a nightmare. I'm really not enjoying work at all. And he won't listen. And I can't. I'm not heard. She said, I'm not heard. And, okay. So, you know, you listen to that. And I just try to help her. So that's an example of why you would suddenly get all these throat infections from nowhere. I mean, we have immune systems, right? That's their job, fighting off the viruses or the bacteriums that are surrounding us. But you see what I mean? That was a classical example, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is it often that literal?
Do you know what? These are just examples I'm using because they're obvious. Surprisingly, yes. Surprisingly, it's quite, well, not that literal. Like, I can't speak because I'm not being heard. That was really literal. But I think the pelvic example was less obvious. And it's true to say, chest things are about grief, are about sorrow, are about letting go and stuff like this. So there is a correlation. But no, things are more complicated and multi-stranded because it's not just that. It probably, people have bad diets, okay? I'm an integrative doctor. The diets go off. They're in a toxic relationship emotionally. They're worried. People are stressed nowadays. They need help. And on my courses, you know, I've got three basically signature courses that, you know, helping people be more intuitive, but helping people understand the light systems in the body so that they can, if you have more light, this darkness in the world right now will not affect you so much. You'll build up your resilience. You'll be more strong and have a buffer. So it's really important.
Hugely, yes. As speaking of medical doctor, what is your approach to toxins, nutrition, you know, what's going in basically?
Well, I mean, it's vital, okay. It couldn't be more vital. Like, let's just say dark green vegetables, that's it, really, are your friends. And I know what it's like to forget to eat them, have a poor diet, we get busy, we want tasty foods. But sugar is a toxin, and we need dark green vegetables. The vitamin Bs and the magnesium are the substrates, the building blocks of the calming and happy hormones. And there's so many depressed, I mean, I see them every day, depressed, anxious people. And they need the building blocks. So supplements are great, those Bs and magnesium, because they're the building blocks of the happy hormones. Unless we have the building blocks, there's no point in giving someone antidepressants because you're trying to get the brain to push out chemicals it doesn't have. If you don't have the right building blocks, you know what I mean? I mean, you're trying to get the brain to push out serotonin with, say, something like Prozac or an antidepressant, but maybe it doesn't have enough serotonin because it can't make enough because it doesn't have enough of these things. So we get our nutrients, including our neurotransmitters, from our foods. Now that's 101. And, you know, that is 101 to me. I mean, you know, I don't really, nowadays I'm more into consciousness than the basics that like that, but I give supplements all the time that turn people's lives around because we all need help right now. And myself, genetically, I did genetic tests too. People, I'm one of them. I don't really utilize vitamin D very much. So even if I have a great diet, I kind of need more. So supplements are very good for a lot of the population here. This gene called MTHFR. We're really jumping around here, but this is my life. I'm very holistic, and I know a lot of stuff. MTHFR is a gene that basically stops you absorbing, metabolizing vitamin Bs, and 25% of the population are affected by this. And to them, it's like switching a light on if you just give them a B-complex. How cheap and easy is that? Forget the antidepressants, right? Give them a vitamin B-complex first. Just see, right? Just a month. And so that's a good tip for anyone. A good high-dose vitamin B.
Well, this is why I was asking, because I was really shocked to learn how little information and focus that traditional medical doctors put on any kind of nutritional. I mean, it's just all about the prescription pad, you know? I don't understand that. What is your understanding of why they're like that?
I think the things are changing. Every decade, things change for the better, I think. Okay. But having said that, in Australia, they haven't, because there's some really great naturopaths there, and they've now stopped getting them in Medicare. The government used to pay for them, so that's actually gone downhill in a very bad way, right? The government stopped paying for people to see these great naturopathic doctors. Actually, it's going to the dark ages. So what do I think? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't think they get enough in their training about the basics, let's say, how exercise even can increase blood flow to the brain is a great thing for depression, increases your endorphins. I mean, what doesn't it do? It's great. This stuff should be prescribed. People should be told they cannot eat frigging donuts for breakfast. You know, they should be just like, why you cannot eat, drink Coke. Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't say things like this, but you can actually love Coke. My father was marketing agent for Coke. It's funny, isn't it? But you can't drink too much of those things. You can't drink too much of those things. It's going to be bad for you. So why can't you just... I checked one of my patients. She's on 10 cans a day of some diet drink. As far as I'm aware, I have done this research. I mean, these are toxins in these diet drinks, that fake sugar. You'd be better to have real sugar.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think there's no training and no emphasis. There's a huge overwhelm with more and more drugs coming on the market that just do the same things as the old drugs anyway. And overwhelmed. Doctors do get overwhelmed, you know. And we're restricted by, very much restricted, legally after what we can say and do. In the UK, my friends, for instance, can't recommend bioidentical hormones like I would for menopause. Yeah. They're told what they can say and do very clearly.
Wow.
So I'm sure the US is the same. Totally restricted or else it would not be approved of. And it's kind of like, you know, you know that's true.
Yes, here in Canada as well. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I know we're kind of going all over the place. I just have so many random questions popping in my head. Main focus is to kind of...
I know, but it's like, it's okay. I mean, that's just like who I am. It's not that I'm all over the place. It's I have a very big worldview. So
yeah.
I mean, people, you know, it's who I am. So what would you like to ask?
Well, I want to kind of rein it in and focus more on you and your approach as we're coming down to the final stretch here. And I want to make sure we get that covered today. One of my questions is this. You know, when we understand the energy and we understand, as you've outlined, the energetic or emotional basis or aspects to causational, you know, parts behind diseases and in great part, and then what you're eating, what you're doing, you know, all the holistic sides of things. My question is this, I've always wondered, you know, what can we not heal when we have all those aspects in place, including the energy work, you know, are we meant to be living longer?
The question is, are we meant to be living longer? I think we are living longer. Every decade, we seem to increase life expectancy. Isn't women about 84 nowadays in the Western world? We are living longer. So I didn't quite catch the rest of the question. How do we do that, or what was the question, really?
Just, you know, if we, once you bring in the energy, the intuition, and the healing aspect, the energy healing aspect, if you can regenerate something through intuition, intention, and energy, you know, it brings to mind, like, it just seems like our possibilities are way beyond 84.
Okay, I got it. You're absolutely right, because our genetic heritage is the light of our DNA. I want to be very clear here. It transcends space and time. We stand on the shoulders of our forebears, of our grandparents and our ancestors, because we inherit their DNA. It's very simple. But the DNA energy is the light that we've now proven it emits. And so basic energy in our cellular structure, okay, and that we must keep pristine. We must keep like the true color of it, the true light of it, keep the flame in its original form. And what is original form? I'm going to say from the beginning of time. I mean, because we came from there, didn't we? I mean, we have to, genetically, we came from somewhere. So looking at it in a very deep way, I'm going to quote a fantastic Canadian scientist who just passed away, Michael Persinger, Laurentian University. So he did studies in the university that showed even when we visualize light, and a lot of my techniques and exercises are about visualization, we increase, it's unbelievable, we actually increase the light emissions from our brain. It's because they can do this sort of study nowadays, you know. They've got more sophisticated ways of measuring light that they didn't have 20 years ago. So I'm actually thinking about light, we increase I told you DNA emits light. We increase the light emission from our bodies. Remember, this light emission is what we might call charisma, what we might call attraction. It's what all the really famous people, like Eckhart Tolle, has tons of it. The saints probably have tons of it, right? It's charisma and it's light. It's light emission from your body. And we know some people have more than others, and we know exactly when we meet them because we love those people and we love to be around them. So this, if we increase that, we're increasing the light of our DNA. It's everything, isn't it? It's everything. Do you know what I mean? It's what it's in the core. It's bigger than the cells. It's bigger than the organs. It's bigger than the enzymes. Because it's the conductor of the choir. That's why. Does that make sense?
So increasing our light is essential towards longevity.
Well, it has to be, because who we are at birth, where do we come from? We come from the spark. The fusion of the egg and sperm creates a new life, and it's a single cell that then, two cells and then four cells and then eight cells, okay? But at the core of that single cell is the spark of life, the DNA are what makes cells and what makes tissues, right? And as I say, they're inherited, those DNA. From the very beginning, I don't know, go back past cavemen, right? But from the very beginning, they're inherited and they're a core of life. And the essence of that energy, so the DNA produces the energy. What's the essence of the energy? We've talked about how we get our energy from the sun through our food in one way, but our body's energy also comes from the light of the DNA. And it's been proven that when we visualize light, which I believe is very important, because remember, in one way, everything we think becomes true. You have a scary, stressful thought right now, your pulse and your blood pressure will go up. That's it. So your body believes that the thought is real. That's the bottom line. So you have nice, relaxing thoughts, and your respiration rate and blood pressure will go down because your body believes that's real. They become real. So I'm looking at this in a very deep level. I haven't done studies to prove people live longer, obviously. It's not what I do anyway. And they'd probably do it on mice, and then it'd be really hard to see Mysis thoughts were, what enlightens them. That'd be a tough one. So I just look at the facts and I join the dots. And I have a lot of intuitive knowingness.
Well, it's an interesting topic that I'm sure we'll find more later on. In the meantime, I know we're just ticking along here, but I just want to ask one more. This is sort of the hot potato question of the day, and then we can get into
Can I just say also, to be less esoteric, filling yourself with light makes you happy, joyful, and we all need that. Okay, forget longevity. I'm actually not that interested in it personally because I think you have to have a happy life. It's much more important. It's not my thing. You know, my thing is to fill your life with happiness and joy and be and transcend the stress that we're all enmeshed in. That's really important. That's what's important, and that's what the exercises will do and what the work will do, isn't it? Sorry, I just had to say that to be really clear.
No, which is a perfect segue into what I was going to ask now, because we're in unprecedented times on the planet right now, and I'm curious as to your perspective on all that's going on with the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the quarantining the healthy people around the world, and you know, what is your two cents on what's going on?
Well, I'm not going to repeat what you read in the newspapers, the good and the bad things that come out of it. I do think we're inherently social beings, and it's torture for us not to meet up. That's what I think. Torture, because we're inherently social, and you don't get it through online stuff, do you really?
No.
I think everyone's beginning to get a bit confused about why. I mean, it seems to be all a bit, it seems to be this, I don't really understand how it seems to be the risk is for older people with this virus. So why don't they stay in quarantine isolation to protect themselves, and everyone else just keep going with work? That'd be better.
It would make a lot more sense. Well, I'm just wondering from the perspective as a doctor, right, because we're seeing a lot of doctors speaking up around the world saying, you know, masks is not going to prevent you from getting a virus and, you know, so many things. I'm just curious, what you're hearing them say and your perspective as a doctor. I mean, are they...
Well, not only am I a doctor, my first job was in a respiratory infectious disease hospital. I worked in a tuberculosis ward in Hong Kong. I have a lot of experience in this area as an MD. And not only that, these patients, they were really sick, like 80-pound men, and they had what we call multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. There was no drug that could treat them. So if I got infected with that, there's no drug that could treat me, right? So to me, this is my bread and butter, dealing with the untreatable illness. What I'm going to tell you now is absolute nonsense. Of course, masks protect you. It's a proven fact. This is nonsense. Look at Japan and Hong Kong. Now, we're right next to China, right? We have constant communication with all these guys coming over. With those, there seemed to be a lot of it started in Wuhan, right? And yes. Japan had that cruise ship there with lots of infected people. We have, I don't know, I think we had we have 1 or 5 cases a day here, and we do a lot of good testing, by the way, proper testing. We have nothing. They think it's a big deal because we had a few hundred people died. It's only 7 million people here, but the fact is we all live very closely together. 7 people get in the elevator, and Japan's exactly the same. We have no viral transmission because, guess what, from March, in fact, February, I think, everyone wore masks all the time. And, well, all the time I say that, but not when I go or run or I walk in the park because I'm not near people. And